He's holding his own, and they're trying to stop the blood. Once they stop the blood, they will be able to do the next surgery.
Dude. Is he, you know, I don't know if they're doing this stuff out your way, but they're doing it over here. They laser those stones to make them, you know, dissipate type deal. Do they do that stuff out that way?
Yes, they do. We're not, you know, it's not the household doctor.
This is Boston. Wait a minute. This is Boston, baby. We do the groundbreaking work here. So just making sure. Sometimes they do things over here and everybody else is like, what? So, you know, I always ask. Well, that makes me sad now. I think I'm going to bed.
I feel so bad. Oh, my God. My heart, my prayers, my thoughts are with him.
Send him a nurse, Phil. Send him a nurse.
Yeah. Send him a nurse.
Short little skirt, you know?
Well, you know, lines on the back of the thigh highs, you know, with high heels, pony. Well, no,
sedated.
With the nurse's cap on. Huh?
They got him sedated.
Aww.
Oh. Well, yeah, because I'm sure they don't want him to move. They've got him down.
Who's with him? His kids? Or
his wife.
His wife, okay.
Okay. Good. At least he's not alone, you know?
Yeah, because I know he does a lot for, you know, his wife, et cetera.
His mom.
Yeah, that's his mom, you know? That's what I was wondering. Who's taking care of him at the moment, you know?
Yeah. Well, he's had a full plate the last few months.
Yeah.
I know.
If there's one person that sympathizes with him on that, it's me, you know, because, I mean, regardless, my grandmother, you know, God love her, she passed away, but, you know, and then my daughter, she had the baby, and that's all cool and stuff, and I mean, some of my stress things have been, like, eliminated, you know, the biggest hurdle yet is my mom trying to get her home. But, I mean, when it comes to, like, dealing with family and family being sick and trying to do everything you can, believe me, I know what that consists of.
We've all been there in some form or another.
Yeah, exactly. So, what's the topic of the show, Phil, huh?
Let's talk about assholes. What?
Go ahead. Go ahead. You want to talk about assholes? Go ahead.
You know how many assholes are in this world today? And you understand for us normal people to be in a society half full of them? How many of us want to just slap them stupid?
Except they get you in trouble.
Yeah, I know.
There's two words to a day like today, and it's called Haagen-Dazs.
Yeah, cookie dough ice cream, I think so.
Oh, you no.
Know,
like the Haagen-Dazs.
You know, Stacey, my day wasn't too bad until when you sent me the text message. I'm like, oh, my fucking God. And then I was like, what? I'm sorry.
Let her finish talking because you're stepping all over. And people can't understand what the two of you are saying together. Please.
I apologize.
Okay. Go ahead, Stacey.
We're female. That's the way all females sound when they're doing the hen cackle. Come on, lighten up, people. Lighten up.
So, no, the only thing that's going on is Espinosa's is doing their bike night tonight up at Original Mike's in Santa Ana, and I got the Love Ride this weekend, and then I got a couple other things, but they're not confirmed yet. So once I get that confirmed, I'll say it. I should know by the end of the show.
Okay.
Nice. Yeah,
you know?
I think I had seen something about an event that them guys were in. It kind of like was trickling through in and out of my page. So, is that the event you're talking about? It's coming up?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's probably what I was reading tidbits about. But there's a lot of, you know, people are, if 'tis the season, people are starting to gather dry goods, canned goods, you know, donate to your local food pantry, donate to a good cause. Maybe you're on a bike run, whatever, you know, but 'tis the time of year where, especially over here, not so much in sunny California, we get colds, we get snow, we get lots of it. And
Quit whining.
Yeah, that's facts of facts. Hush your lipsticks now. Be quiet. I got the floor here. But no, I mean, it's that time of year where, you know, you got that can that's been sitting in the cupboard for the last 6 months and you ain't using it. It's time to donate it. You know, I mean, we got more and more homeless on these parts. And, you know, in summer and the springtime, you kind of don't think of the homeless, but on the wintertime when you see them on the streets and it's getting colder, you know, it's that bothers me. It always has. So I just look at it like, you know, when you're out there doing good for something or you're buying the gift for that special person you like, you know, drop something off at, you know, a food bank, a food pantry, whatever.
It ain't even that. You go down to your local VA because there's guys there that aren't going anywhere for Christmas.
Exactly.
And a lot of people cannot afford to be here to share it with them.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, it's the one time of year where you truly, you know, if you've been blessed throughout the year, you know, even with small things, because a lot of people aren't seeing major things with, you know, the way the world is revolving. But even to be grateful for the small things, to just to give back that way, that's, you know, I agree. Go to the VA. Go, you know, there's in the city here, the city that is on the outskirts of the town, the little country town I live in, they have pet centers, like, all over the city. There's, like, three or four of them. And you can go down there, too, and volunteer your time and stuff. There's a lot going on. It's just people got to look into their community and find out, you know, who needs help and what's what, et cetera.
That's correct.
Yeah, because I'm smart like that.
When's the last time you went to the VA?
Let me see. The VA hospital itself or like the vet centers type deal?
It doesn't matter which one as long as you go to one.
About 6 months.
Okay.
You know, because my daughter is actively involved with a lot of things we had donated. I had, because I've had, like, multiple knee operations and stuff, I've had brand-new crutches. I had six pairs of them. One pair was the only pair used. I had five other pairs that were, like, brand-new, and I couldn't find any place to take them. And I had called one of the vet centers, and I said, you know, can you guys use these? I said, they're bought, they're paid for, they haven't been used. They told me to bring them down, that they would make sure that, you know, they were put towards something, you know, whether a person needs them or somebody else or whatever, but they would, you know, take care of it, and I brought them down there. So, you know, that's that.
Good.
Yeah. So,
Trevor,
what else is going on?
Turkeys are coming to the turkeys are coming to a grocery store near you. Thanksgiving, man.
Yeah.
Turkey for me and turkey for you.
Oh, please! If you're gonna start singing.
That's Adam Sandler's, man. Come on, that's some good stuff. We don't eat.
Like Bill singing Happy Trails.
Yeah, Happy Trails to you until we meet again. That's a great old tune.
Awesome.
You know, Van Halen did a spliff on that too, you know?
Mm-hmm. What do you got going? What do you two have going this weekend?
Nora, you first, me second.
This weekend? Let's see. Nada?
Nothing at all?
Nothing exciting.
No?
Wow.
No.
Wow. Well, Friday night, I'm going to be doing Jello shots and hanging out with my hens because we do trays of Jello shots. But you know, I don't get it. We buy good vodka. We buy that Svedka, am I saying it right? Svedka vodka. We make Jello shots, and I don't get it. You drink Jello shots in the nightclub or whatever, and you know you start to feel awesome. You drink Jello shots at home, and it don't get you nowhere. You be yawning. You want to go to bed. But Friday night with the hens. Saturday night I'm going to Roger Williams Zoo, which is in Cranston, Rhode Island, home of the biggest prison in Rhode Island, the ACI. They've got what's called, and you can look this up online if you go to RogerWilliamsZoo.com, their Jack-O-Lantern Spectacular. They have over 5,000 pumpkins carved and lit up, and you kind of go through, like, the paths in the zoo. They have an area designated for it, but the stuff they do on these pumpkins is amazing. Amazing. So we're going to go check
some of them the last.
What?
I've been posting some of them the last few days. There's some people that have been carving some marine stuff in them.
Yeah, they've got Army, Marines, you know, Navy, all that stuff. They do that. They do portraits of, like, famous movie stars and Halloween characters. But, you know, they change them every couple of days, keep adding them, because once you carve into a pumpkin, it begins to break down. But just the fact that there's, like, over 5,000 pumpkins is just crazy. And they put those little they don't use candles. They use those LED lights now that they have.
Right.
So they put those in the pumpkin, so it's all safe. But it's cool because I've seen so many pictures of people that I know have already gone over there. And crazy stuff, really neat. So that's what's on my weekend getaway. What's on your weekend getaway, Phil?
I told you, I got...
Got a bike. You're a superstar. You're up and down California all weekend long.
Can I put 1,500 miles on my bike in 3 days?
Wow. That's a lot of miles.
Yeah.
You know? Wow. Where did you go? Like?
Everywhere and anywhere.
I was going to say, my goodness, like, it's 1,500 miles to get to Orlando from Rhode Island. That's a lot of traveling.
And it's 1,831 miles to the front door of my brother's house.
It's the exact same distance from Niles, Michigan to Providence, Rhode Island as it is to Providence, Rhode Island to Orlando, Florida. Same exact mileage. That's crazy. You know? And it's one takes you all the way down the East Coast, and the other one only takes you not even halfway into the central Midwest. But I see there's some snow flurries popping up on the map, you know? Upper Maine, upper Midwestern corner there. Where is that? Montana, Missouri. Places like that, the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, there, Mackinac, great stuff. Now that's, let me tell you something. You guys think your Golden Gate Bridge is something else? Half of the people in the United States of America are ignorant to the fact that the Golden Gate Bridge is not the biggest suspension bridge in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
It is the Mighty Mac that goes from Michigan to Michigan's Upper Peninsula. And I've been over that sucker about 10 times, and it's awesome is what it is. And on, you know, in the wintertime when those crosswinds come down from the north, I'm sure you've all heard the story about the Edmund Fitzgerald that sank in Lake Superior. those winds are intense. They have tractor trailer rigs that will take small cars like little Volkswagen Bugs, different things like that. If the winds are too strong, your car's being brought over by tractor trailer in fear that it could blow off the bridge.
Yeah, and then in Oklahoma today, the sides of the road, they're lined with semis from getting blown off the road.
Say that again?
In Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Of the winds.
Yeah.
Semis are getting blown off the freeway.
Jesus, how, you know, what kind of winds were they? Where were they coming from?
Don't know. Don't care. There's nothing to hide behind there. The middle of the road, you're nothing. I need your side for miles.
Wow. Well, I've been to Lawton because my daughter graduated basic training in Lawton, Connecticut, over there at Fort Sill. So I've been to that area, and it was pretty, like, a lot of flat land, and it was windy every single day. And the girl at the motel said that Oklahoma is famous for bad hair days because they're in a day that goes by that it's not windy there. So I was like, oh, but now that you're saying this, it definitely, like, makes sense. There's always some strong winds over there, I guess.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. So where is everybody tonight? Where's
Fran? Probably watching football.
Football? On the NFL channel?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's if people pay for the NFL channel. You know, you got to pay to get that stuff.
I know. I have it.
I won't. You know, football is supposed to be an Americanized sport. It's been around for X amount of years. And, you know, Mr. Goodell, no disrespect to him, but he could basically blatantly go fuck himself. And that's exactly the way I feel. Putting shit on a channel like the NFL Network is a smack in the face to my grandfather, who was a diehard fan right from the get-go. Between that and baseball, you know, you grow up with members in your family. You knew if you went over there on a Sunday or a Saturday, the game was going to be on or something else was going to be on that revolved around sports. But, you know, our older generations of people, they don't give a shit about cable. If you really get out there and talk to the older folks, they're content with their basic 15 channels, which are like original channels. They don't get into all that hype. And how the heck, you know, you smack the American citizens in their face by taking one or two games a week and putting it on something like the NFL channel. You got 16 damn games a season, plus playoffs, that's three, plus the Super Bowl, that's four. And you have the audacity to make people, you know, pay to watch this stuff when the NFL as a whole is making billions and billions of dollars. Roger Goodell, go fuck yourself. That's exactly the way I feel about that. So, next subject.
Well, no, you're right, you know, because unfortunately in order to be able to access some of the games because, you know, ESPN doesn't carry them all or our actual basic, you know, channels, it's ridiculous. So say if you take out this NFL Network channel, okay, well, there goes your ESPN and stuff. It's crazy.
Yep, I think of my grandfather who never got cable. You know, I had one grandfather who, because my grandmother, she was pretty hip. They were all into the cable thing. But I had another grandfather who, he was the sports buff. He wasn't into cable at all. He had rabbit ears up until the day they passed away. He didn't do cable. He didn't want cable. He had no time for cable. And he's from the generation where the only time you saw sports on TV was when you heard the words, "Welcome to ABC and the wide world of sports." And you're going back black and white, the days where they just wore little hats and chased the football. They didn't have helmets. They had little leather hats, you know. So it is. It's just because of all the people back then, the NFL is where it is today. You know, because the people are the ones that support the sport. If they're interested in the sport, then that's where the sponsors come in. Okay, the people like this, we could sponsor this, we could take it further. But to blatantly slap the American public in the face that if you don't have cable, you might not get to see your team, fuck you. That's horrible. Horrible. Because, you know, Gordell's pockets are lined. All the people who own these teams and franchise these teams, their pockets are lined, but yet they still want more money by putting stuff on the NFL channel, and that's just
wrong.
I have no time for that, nor do I respect it. I'm one of these persons that if my team is not playing on the cable channels that I have, you will find me sitting in my car listening to the AM radio that plays the Patriots every single Sunday. I will find a way to hear or see my game. You know, even if I have to go down to the local sports bar, whatever, you know. But I will not pay for the NFL channel. I won't do it.
Yeah. Well, I don't pay for AT&T, but I had a guy outside my house Tuesday. I got home from work. So I walked up and I said, "Hey, man, what's up?" "Oh, I got a call about your phone. Let me see the work order." "It's in the truck." "Well, go get it or stop or I'm calling the police because I think you're doing something you're not supposed to be doing." Little bag and left.
One of these times, you know, if that happens again, you need to, like, grab the dude up, bring him inside your house and offer him a beer.
Yeah.
Read him the Riot Act of what the laws are and what you know. Just be like stupid. "Hey, did you ever hear this? Did you know about that? Did you ever hear about this?" You know, be casually friendly with him and let him know that, you know what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make a difference. I don't care.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing is I look at it now is so many of my friends and stuff, they're like, blah, 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 privacy. I'm like, I say to them, "You ain't got no privacy." Excuse my English, because that's not politically correct to say "ain't" and "got" in the same sentence. But nobody's got no more privacy, and we discuss that on a every other week thing. And the American public needs to start believing it, walking around saying, "Nope, I don't have no privacy." And I mean, you know how many times I've gone to the stores and you like shopping for clothes and different things like that, and you go into the changing booth to try shit on, and all of a sudden that shit's rolling through my head. "You don't got no privacy." I'm like, you know, screw this. I'll buy the clothes, bring them home, try them on. If they don't fit, then I'll bring them back. And even at home, how much privacy do you have?
Depends on if you pull the shades down or not.
What? What'd you say?
It depends on how much privacy you have. I said it depends if you pull the shades down or not.
Well, you know, I keep the shades shut in my bedroom, but like the rest of the house, my plants need sunlight, you know? I mean,
hey, it's your story. You tell it any way it sounds good.
I am telling. Yeah, my beautiful Christmas cactus and my beautiful spider plant, and I have a lemon tree, and I have another cactus. And I have a little yellow rose bush. I got a green thumb, let me tell you. Don't say anything. I know the two of you are thinking of something. Don't say a damn word.
No, because in the spring, I have a garden unless if, you know, my puppy decides to eat it all. But, you know, yeah, I understand about the green thumb.
And
I'm just outside. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm still cigarette free, you know.
Good for you.
Yeah, not too shabby. So that's that. Come on, Phil. You know, how's your wife, Phil? Where is she? Is she putting you in check?
She's rolling down the freeway.
Oh, I like it when she's at your house and she, you know.
Don't start no shit now.
No, I like it when she's home, because when she's busting your ass and we can hear it, that's great, you know?
Yeah. Somebody needs to bust his balls.
Yeah.
If you call, I'm in the other room, busting my ass, then I'm laughing my ass off.
Say that again. All I heard was busting ass.
If you think somebody hollering, hey, I'm in the other room, busting ass, then...
It's the things the wife can get away with putting the husband in check that normal society can't, you know?
Exactly.
That's the best part. You know, it's like she can, you know, basically put you in checkmate. And like me and Nora can't do that. We can make fun of you, but we can't put you in check. Nope. Only a good woman that's been with a man long, long time can put the man in check. And you got a good woman there. So I'm sure she's kept you in check.
Wow, there is a dead silence.
I said and then some.
Of course.
So, like, what's everybody's plans for Thanksgiving and Christmas? Is everybody staying in Chicago and California, or are people planning on traveling, or?
Going to, I might be heading east.
Really? To like, east, like this type of east, or east as in Midwest?
To Chicago.
Nice. For Christmas, Thanksgiving?
Yeah, kind of. It's going to be a couple of things. My niece got engaged, and she wants to talk to me, so I think I know what that one's about.
Nice.
Yeah, she wants her uncle to give her away.
Oh, that's real nice. That's nice.
Yeah, because the last time I was there, I talked to her boyfriend and said, if you hurt my niece, you won't be able to hide.
Dude, I said that to my daughter's boyfriend and they left for New York. Because I hate him. Excuse my French, I can't stand him. And, you know, that's pretty much what I said. You hurt my daughter, I'll break your fucking face, and I'm a female, and I've pounded plenty of guys' face. And I read him the Riot Act. I said, you know, I don't care who you are, who you know, or who your family knows. I'm like, this is what's up. You hurt my daughter. I'm like, see these two hands? They're going to pound you into the ground. Now they live in New York. The rest is history. So,
where's the grandbaby going?
Oh, she's so gorgeous. Oh, my God. She's awesome. She's gained like 3 ounces. So she's doing good. I can't wait
to
meet her.
She's beautiful.
And she's a cutie. We'll keep her.
Yeah.
Yeah. How's your granddaughter doing?
Be arriving Friday night.
Nice. For babysitting duty or just a casual encounter with grandpa?
If it was up to me, they could drop her off and leave her here.
There you go. I'd say that to my daughter. I'm like, why don't you just drop the baby off and leave her here with me for a couple of months and then come back for her? My daughter's like, what? I'm like, sure, just bring her on down, drop her off, and go take a powder for a while, you know? Like, let me have some time with my grandkid.
So now, when were you thinking of possibly heading east for the holidays?
I don't know, Nora. Don't. Write it in your calendar yet, because it's going to be...
I don't write anything in my calendar.
Right, because it's going to be a spur-of-the-moment thing.
No, I caught that, but then I had to put it on hold because my daughter came in and I didn't want it to be on the radio. Anyways, yeah, so I only caught that you were possibly coming out east. I figured you were going to go visit Stacy.
Me?
Yeah.
What?
Then you could show them Route 81.
Mikasa is all y'all's casa. But, man, give me a day's notice so I can go out and get some seafood, put together some New England. Please, you know what I'm saying? Don't like show up at my door when I'm looking like a freaking housewife. Give me a day so I can look like a rock star and at least make a nice meal. You know?
Yeah, so it's going to be a spur of the moment thing. I talked to my brother yesterday.
Nice. Those are the best trips, anyways.
Yeah,
it wasn't a really
long conversation either, because he was doing the watch in the front, and he had to it was cut short by a call. Where his firehouse is, there's a lot of Polish immigrants that don't know how to drive, especially when they're drunk.
Oh Jesus. So there's a Polish section of Chicago?
Oh, yeah. There's Polish, there's Italian, there's Greek, there's, you know, Hispanic, there's Latino. Oh, my God. It's very ethnicity here.
The city here was founded by the French, Polish, and Irish. And, like, my grandmother is from that workforce, you know, back almost 100 years ago, that came in and established the mills and the cotton trade and this, that, and the other.
All the stuff we don't have anymore.
Right, exactly. That was my...
I wanted to get people that Obama outsourced 5 million jobs to, but I didn't want to pay the international rates.
Yeah, but you know something? Mitt Romney sent a bunch of work overseas, too, right here from the state of Massachusetts. You know, I've like I said before, I've got my issues with Romney. I'm sorry. I got my issues with Obama. I've got my issues with Romney. I think I've got more issues with Romney than I do with Obama at this point. You know, quite frankly, if I could get away with not voting, I wouldn't. But I've always voted. It's something that my family believes in. It's something I've been raised with, you know, and it just is what it is. Like I've said, I would have voted for Ron Paul, but that's not happening, you know. Poor guy tried, gave it his best shot, not once but twice.
Well, let me ask you this.
Yes.
If Romney had all his, he did such great and he's going to give us all these jobs, why was his state 47th in job creation when he was governor?
Let me tell you something. When he was fucking governor, there was nothing happening here. I don't know where people are getting all these freaking polls from, because one of the biggest hypes in Massachusetts was that goddamn big dig. You know? You know how much money that sucked out of us? It's not even freaking funny. The thing with Romney is it goes deep, is what it does. He's very much to put all the things out there that he wants to do, but when you give him the chair, does he do it? You know, I would take, and it's like I've told, I've got into a couple of disputes with people on Facebook. They're like, you're from Massachusetts, you should know, but yeah, that's right, I do know. I lived through it, and still, you know, the repercussions, the long-term repercussions of sending jobs away from the state, and doing some of the things he's done, you know, it did not better the state at all. In his eyes, it did. But you get down to the nitty-gritty and talk to the working people, and they're going to tell you something else. Anybody that makes over $150,000 a year are going to tell you, you know, what he did for Massachusetts was the best thing. But you get down to that middle class and that poor class, and we didn't see shit. You know, and I mean, I'm not pleased with both candidates. I'm not. And I, you know, I'll never tell you guys one way or the other which way I'm going to vote, because I don't believe in airing out my political whatevers. It's like, you know, I'll talk about both candidates. I'll tell you how I feel on one thing or another, or both of them. But I'm not pleased with either one of them. I wish there was more in the pond, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I wish we had more than two people to just, you know, because personally, I think over the last 10 years, too much damage has been done to this country to even possibly think about recovering from it. And the fact of the matter that both parties are turning around and saying, you know, that they can decrease the deficit, they can do this, they can do that, baloney. Neither one of them can. It ain't going to happen. Just like both of them promising, you know, I can make jobs. I will get jobs. Really?
All the jobs are overseas. The fact of the matter that corporate aristocrats have taken their plants, their factories, and everything else and sent them to Japan, Mexico, Guatemala, wherever, to pay 25 cents to a person working versus an American working at minimum wage or more, you know, and that stuff's not going to come back. You know, people have gotten their heads that, oh, you know, they're going to bring these factories, but no, they're not.
Everything's going to Walmart.
You know, did you just say everything's going to Walmart?
Yep.
Yes.
Can't walk through there without finding everything coming from China.
Yeah, you know, the Waltons are a joke. Waltons own Walmart, and I don't even want to go there. I won't shop at Walmart. I don't. Unless there's something that I can't get anywhere else, I refuse to go in the store. And, I mean, you can ask anybody that I associate with. I'll bring you to Walmart, but I'm sitting in the car. I won't go in it. I won't shop from Walmart because I felt that when Walmart came around, they did nothing but monopolize the industry. Stores that have been around forever, like, for instance, Kmart, and different stores like that are all folding up because of Walmart, and I'm not giving them none of my money. I don't. And, you know, everybody else can. And the great part about it is you walk in one house, you walk in 10 houses. They're all decorated by Walmart's fashion decor, and they all look the same. That's another reason why I will shop at Walmart. I don't want to have in my house what everybody else has. Thank you very much, and have a nice day. You know, I'm all set with Walmart.
Yeah.
People are going to realize how foolish they are when you don't have a choice no more. Well, you could go to Walmart, you could go to Kmart, you could go to Burlington, you could go to Target. When you don't have those choices anymore and it's just Walmart, then people realize what they've done. So.
Yeah.
I could be a real bitch, huh?
We all can.
Oh, my God.
When it's deserved.
Yeah.
All right, I got one for you.
Oh, God.
In Maine, there's a tricky question that the news media asked. And it's a prostitution scandal in a small town. It's been deteriorating into a case of she said he paid. The question of who broke the law has already taken a second seat to who should be shamed. The alleged prostitute Zimba Fitness Studio and her business partner or dozens of male customers on the Zimba defamed IMF director revolves.
Yep.
What do you think? Should prostitution be legal?
Wait a minute. First of all, that story is being rocked out of Maine. It's all over the headlines. We're hearing about it a lot more because I'm only 3 hours away from Maine. The first thing that I find utterly disturbing is, you know, I could give a shit about prostitution. It's one of the oldest money-making fields there is. It's not going away. It's going to be around. I think if they just got over themselves and legalized it, we would have a lot of the bullshit stopped. But going back to the point at hand, fact of the matter is that she, the madam, quote-unquote, filmed all of the sexual encounters with the Johns. Now, it's one thing to be involved with prostitution. Okay, that's illegal. All right, you're going to get a fine, whatever. It's another thing to illegally be filming somebody engaging in a sexual act as a form of a record, you know. Well, we have a record of you, you know. Where does it go from here? Because the people, the Johns or whatever, that did pay to go there, they're fighting for their stuff to be kept confidential, which on some level I feel it should be, or at least they should sue the daylights out of the judicial system. If the judicial system goes forward with watching those videotapes and identifying the guys or girls or whoever it was, I think it's a crock of shit. You know, okay, we get it, the prostitution thing's wrong, but the laws also have to protect the other things in play, which they're trying to skip away from. You know, there's a lot of tricky things to that one, but that's the way I personally feel. If one of them John's names get in the paper, or they get seen in court, whatever, I think that they should get a high-priced attorney and sue the daylights out of the state of Maine. Regardless, they were engaging in a paid sexual act, okay? That's a slap on the hand. That's a day in court. You know, their names shouldn't be scandalized all over the place just because, you know what, they wanted a little bit of pussy on the side. Excuse my French. But that's, you know, that's a very touchy subject to a lot of
people.
But here,
they put your name in a paper and on a billboard. You're out there public. On a billboard.
What? Oh, my God.
They do that done when they catch him over there by Washington and Harlem and
or 16th and Roosevelt or, you know. I mean, like I said, it is insane what they do.
You might as well just put a scarlet letter on all of them.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
This is why I look at. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's all I had to say was a freaking billboard.
Well, you know, the thing is, and I agree, it's the oldest profession out there. They might as well just make it legal in every state besides, you know, Vegas. Hello. Because no matter what, it doesn't matter if someone dates someone, if somebody goes out to pay for sex, it's the same scenario. Hello, wake up. You know, different mannerisms, but it is the same. If a guy takes a woman out or a woman takes a guy out, well, guess what? At some point, they're going to end up together. Now, either they're doing it over drinks or doing it over dinner, both, what have you. Okay, the only difference is they're not saying, well, here's some money. But you already have to put money out on the table to be with a person.
I know there's just as many downfalls as there are positives to brothels, booty ranches, whatever you want to call them. But I think if they kept it, like,
contained,
you would even regulate something like that, but kept an eye on it or regulated it or designated it something, and we get some of these madams, et cetera, you know, pimps, pimp daddies, whatever you want to call these people, to work together with everybody as a whole. I'm thinking on some level it could possibly even help stop all the, you know, the child exploitation, you know,
right.
they do that stuff too. You know, it's like, because everybody's got to come together to work on some type of solution to stop that to begin with. But I don't know, my mind just goes wide on different things. And sometimes you have to be able to bow out gracefully and say, okay, we're never going to win the war on this, but maybe if we work with these people, something positive could come out further on down the road. You know what I mean? I don't know. That's the way I view things.
Well, look at it this way. Do you have hotels or what I call the fucking doll motels out by you? I'm sure you do. I'm sure every state has them. Do you know the majority of them have cameras in there? So if you're in there with someone, you're actually being filmed and people don't know it?
Oh, that makes me sick. Don't even say something like that. I'm going to be afraid to go stay in a motel.
But I'm serious. You know, they'll have hidden cameras behind the mirror or in other areas of the room that people don't even know. And that's been going on since, God, what, 70s, 80s, you know, it's crazy. And, you know,
the
majority of people, okay.
Hello, Frank.
Well, the way I look at that, I'm gonna touch on that for comment. The way I look at it is they had in, it was either Arizona or Nevada, they had the Mustang ranches.
Right.
And you know what? Guess what? Every week a doctor went out, tested everybody, made sure that there wasn't anything extra that was being shared. Taxes were collected, and everybody was happy. And you know what? Hey, like you said, it's been around for years.
Right.
And that oldest profession is never going to go away.
Right.
Well, when you were saying about being printed in Poughkeepsie, everybody, the hottest paper to buy was a Wednesday paper. Because the Wednesday paper was when they actually listed all the DUIs and also listed all of those that were participating in recreation. Illegal recreation of sorts. In other words, hooking. So that was a very popular paper because everybody wanted to see if their neighbor was in it. But now I got a biker question.
Go ahead.
Biker question is this. You guys know me because of knowing me. And it doesn't surprise you when I put my foot out there and say, yo, Bubba, you need to actually do this and this on your bike, or you're going to get hurt. I don't know if it's just my personality, or do other seasoned riders take up that opportunity to look out for another rider? I don't care what bike they're riding. But do people actually go that extra step?
Some do, some don't.
What the hell is that?
I mean, I don't know what that was. It sounded like ch-ch-ch-ch. But, the way I looked at it is, a really good friend, she went up to Sturgis, or no, it wasn't Sturgis, the one where the booze fighters, and they block them out of the town and all that, that one. She went up there, and on her way up there, she had packed her saddlebag, like we all do, except for she was a smoker. So she had her lighter and her cigs in the saddlebag as she's going down the freeway. And, of course, she's been on the road for a while. All of a sudden, there's this big bang. Sun hits her in the back of the leg. She had this huge black and blue. The cigarette lighter worked its way down to sit on the pipes, and then when that thing got hot enough, it exploded.
Oh, my God.
So, the real question is it primarily because John and I were always into the safety aspect of it, and we always pushed safety, even if someone didn't want to hear what we had to say, we said it anyway? Or do other people out there take the initiative to either educate or step in so that a relatively new rider or seasoned rider doesn't get hurt? I don't know. Phil, you've been riding for years. Do you ever say, yo, hey, your tire's a little low there? Or, hey, I see strings coming out of your tires. Do you? Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering how many people, how many bikers out there, or are they afraid to say something? Are they afraid to say something because they see somebody's patch?
Well, who does that religiously is Bill. And oh, by the way, he's in ICU at Scripps.
Why?
Kidneys.
Oh, Jesus.
They did
just
an operation.
Kidney infection? Infection or shutdown?
No, it's just before shutdown, but they did an operation because the stones were blocking the tubes. And now
Okay.
They scheduled him for another surgery, and they can't do it until the bleeding stops.
Right. because
so,
that's a backup and infection.
Right.
You got to get things free flowing before you can go to the next level.
Right. So he's he's there. He's been there since Monday.
Shit. Okay. Now you talking the one down by me?
No, the one up in Encinitas.
Encinitas. Oh, that's the little one. Over on the left-hand side going up.
Correct.
No, visitors or no visitors?
No, he's in ICU unless you're an immediate family member.
Yeah, okay.
You might want to call Kathy and ever put you on the list.
Who's taking care of Kathy?
She's there.
Okay. Okay.
You got the number to the house, right?
I probably do somewhere.
All right. Well, if you don't, hit me up and I'll give you the number.
I'll talk to you in between.
Uh-huh.
I'll talk to you in between.
Okay.
Because, I could always go up Tuesday afternoon after I get off of work at 6.
Yeah, he does that, though. When he has runs at the shop, he does that. He goes outside and he looks at people's bikes and he advises them. Or if it's really bad, he won't let them ride.
Yeah, I'm so glad that's not. I hemmed and hawed because it's a student, and he's like half my age, and you know how a lot of people don't really care to hear something from a woman. I mean,
right.
That never stopped me anyway. But it's kind of like, I had to step in today anyway. But it's the same thing like bungeeing down something. I mean, those bungees can be a really nice thing, and those suckers can hurt you.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to teach John all of those things. And that's the only reason John was so good at all that crap was because as we went along, I kept teaching him the different things. I mean, how many bikers out there that are new that don't, the road is wet, and which brake do we use when the road is wet? Preferably?
The back one.
The back one. Thank you. Unless you got ABS, you're in trouble, because then that doesn't work.
Yeah.
That was why Jim Brown sold that one bike because he dropped it a couple times. It was like, shit, he didn't want a bike that fought for him when he put on the brake. And that was the BMW. He liked it, but he didn't like the fact that the bike decided for him what pressure to put on what brake. Not what
right.
we used to do it ourselves.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the way it is. So hopefully anyone that's going to be in town on Sunday that they will come by for the ride for kids. Unfortunately, when it's the ride for kids, I am there. I'm the parking attendant. I don't know why there's great respect when they come in. I guess they're afraid that I'm going to give them that clothesline thing, whatever. But they're very respectful. They come in. If I tell them to go park over there, they go, yes. And then I interpret, and then after I get that done, I come home. But I don't get to ride my bike there because I got crap I got to bring with me.
Oh.
Yeah, that sucks. But the ride for kids, that's on this weekend.
Saturday.
Sunday?
Well,
Sunday.
I can't be in two places at once, but that's where Bill was going this year.
He comes usually every year, and he usually drops a check. Very few people know that. But he usually slips a check in.
I know.
Now, there's also coming up, there's a ride coming up for the detective that was shot. And I guess they're also having a blood drive. They already had, I think, like 2,000 pints of blood, even before it was announced.
Uh-huh.
People actually went and gave blood. And I don't know that which Harley dealer that's coming out of. But I don't
New York Mike.
New York Mike's? Okay. I wasn't sure it's one of those two. Now, that's not this Sunday. That's the following Sunday, right? Or is it this Sunday?
No, I think it's... I think they're together.
So it's this Sunday as well?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
That's part of the problem, you know. Where I
well,
go one way,
like
Bill
that.
Go the other way, and then...
Yeah.
Now, you know, now it's going to be like, well, why aren't you coming to this? Because I'm committed to that.
But the problem isn't... I mean, there's things that are out of our control. That's like when John and I, and we did the San Diego toy run for years. I think John and I did that for 8 years, 9 years, something like that, until there was an incident. And then we said, you know what, fuck it. We don't need to have someone threaten our lives and all that. Fine, done. But putting that aside, the biggest problem that we had with the San Diego toy run, every 7 years, the Vietnam vets and the San Diego toy run fall on the same Sunday.
Right.
And it was like, I remember the first year, and it was like, how dare you, you know, put your run on the same day as ours? And it's like, whoa, 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 Jack. We always do it the first Sunday. The fact that your happens to fall on the first Sunday, and it happens to fall on the first Sunday every 7 years, We can't do anything about that. But, I mean, we try to, you know, be accommodating. But there are times when, you know what, it just can't, you know, there's nothing that you can do to prevent that. I mean, it's just not possible.
No.
There was a time, and I'm going to go back about 15 or so years ago, there was a time when... There were certain individuals, but there were certain individuals that would actually make sure that if they found out that there was an event going on, they made sure that they put on the event, same day.
Right.
And I thought that was pretty shitty, because instead of being supportive.
Well, it's just like the toy run's been coming out of Chula Vista for years. I should say, I'm sorry, National City, and now it comes out of San Diego.
I have a feeling, I think I know part of that. There was a president that had passed.
Be careful what you say right now.
I know, I'm trying to.
No, don't say it then.
Yeah, you know what, you're right. It's not worth.
Nope.
So, but you know what? The other thing that has added to that is a lot of people don't have a passport, and they don't want to get the insurance.
Uh-huh.
So that's kind of being prohibitive going into TJ.
Right.
I mean, John and I got to the point where we went to the start, we gave our toys, and the money that we would have paid for the insurance, we kicked that in too.
Mm-hmm.
Because at that point, yeah, I mean,
that.
It was easier. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this past year was kind of interesting, because we got the two runs leaving out of New York Mike's and got to put things in both. And some, you know, went on the ride. Some went up to Bill's.
Right.
So it was kind of, it was.
Yeah,
that
he
was
did
the
that
first point.
He did that on purpose.
But that worked out well.
Yeah.
I mean, it really did, because I got to bring my blankets, and I got to donate my toys, and it was a good feeling all the way around. Everybody got to see each other.
Right.
Which was a good thing. You know, so, but that is where people putting themselves together instead of pulling each other apart. And unfortunately, sometimes individuals have a tendency to do that, and that's not a good thing. But they've been doing that for years. If you invite a news station, then the other news stations won't show up.
Right.
And there was one year that John and I had done the toy run that totally took us off guard, because there were actually three news stations there at the same time. It was either a really slow Sunday, or they actually decided that they wanted to come and support the motorcycle ride for the kids. And that's when John and I were doing Father Joe.
Well, that's just like that run in Carlsbad to drive by that little kid's house. If I didn't get a hold of that reporter from Channel 8, nobody would have covered it.
Yep. I mean, that's kind of how it is. You know, we never did get to find out how that documentary went for that kid up in, Encinitas?
Which one was that?
That was the one where the kid wanted a couple thousand bikes, and there was promised 1,000, and there was
that's
like
the one
3,000
where
bikes.
He had almost 1,000?
Yeah.
That's the one where I called Adrian Moore from Channel 8.
But the question is they were there was a person that they were all involved in also doing a documentary on that, and I was just wondering whatever transpired from it, or where did it go from there? Did they ever put it together, or what?
I'll find out.
That'd be nice, because it would be nice to actually get that out, on the show, get it out, on the air. If they only did a trailer, if it's something that they can go get at whatever place to get a DVD to watch it or whatever, it'd be kind of nice.
Well, I think there's one on YouTube.
Is there? I didn't know that. Okay. YouTube. Well, honey, I work a little. I like paying my bills, so I have a tendency to work a little.
I'm just giving you shit.
Yeah, I know. I just had this greatest thing with YouTube, because I found a street photographer that said it all. And in fact, I put it on my Facebook, and it had to do with schooling. And it was like, oh, you'll have to listen to it. How sometimes some instructors have a tendency to be really unprofessional, face slapping, and maybe they shouldn't be teachers.
Yeah.
But you know what? Hey, if you ain't strong enough to stand, be in the kitchen, then get out of the kitchen. And so, let's see, what else is going on? I'm not sure. I'm lost. So what else has people got to say out there?
Well, not much, but let me take a break here for a minute. I'll be right back.
Sure.
Give you guys a little fog hat.
Ooh.
down below, if you wanna go to the school mile, oh, the range, they got a lot of nice girls.
Michigan, that my old romping grounds. We're about to Michigan.
I don't know. He's on the phone. He might be pouring a drink.
What?
Hey. What's up,
what?
Man?
What's up?
Nada. What are you up to?
What are you up to?
Hey, man, come on, dude. What's going on?
Come on, dude, what's going on? Let's see. Hello. I'm sitting here listening.
All right.
So where in Michigan are you from?
North of the Bay City.
All right. Because I lived in Niles, right on the South Bend line, off of Interstate 31.
Yeah, well, shout out.
Well, you know, I haven't been back there in almost 10 years, but yeah, there's a shout out for you. But I lived there for a while, man. You know,
I'm a member of the Tri City Hogs, 2250 Bay City, Michigan, Great Lakes, Harley Davidson. Let's ride. That's it.
Well, you're not drinking and riding, are you?
Nah, it's 40 degrees out.
Michigan gets some cold real quick, especially if you're up in the UP. Look out.
I was going to say, the screwdriver dozy. Whatever happened?
To what?
To life that went. I don't know. You know me, screwdriver. I used to work stumbling, bowling, drunk, and a skunk.
I'll let you listen for a while, okay?
What?
Put you on hold, I'll let you listen for a while.
All right. No.
Yeah. Otherwise, he's a good guy. I was waiting for the Espinosas are supposed to call in from Original Mike, so we'll see what's going on. Live thing right now. What's going on? What else is going on for you guys this weekend besides going to the zoo?
What? Wait a minute, going to the zoo. I'm not going to see the damn animals. We're going at night. Can only go at night to see those jack-o'-lanterns lit up going to the zoo. Although Roger Williams is a really nice zoo, though. I have to say that much.
You'll have to take some pictures and send them to me.
Oh, yeah, I will, definitely, because, like, the pictures of the jack-o'-lanterns when they're lit up and stuff, they're incredible. They're awesome because you take it with, like, no flash.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they come out friggin' banging. They're like freaking wicked awesome. I love it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Who's more excited about going there, you or him?
Freaking me, man. You know, I'm the one that's into all that stuff. My kids, all they do is, you know the way kids are. They piss, bitch, moan, and complain. They don't realize how good, you know, good is till 20 years later when they tell their friends, oh, my mom was so good to me. She brought me to all the jack-o'-lantern spectaculars, even though I was a meatball being younger and didn't give a rat's 2 cents about it, you know? One of those deals.
Where'd Where'd Skinny go from? She's still there?
I'm still here.
All right. What's up on your end?
Huh?
What's up on your end?
Not a whole lot.
Where'd Fran go?
She might have got a call.
Oh.
She'll be back. She's still in the chat room.
Where's Silent?
Silent Bobby here.
He's being real silent, ain't he?
Yeah.
All right.
But
silent.
I had one for you guys. Let me see if I can.
Wait a minute. It better not be one I've already heard.
No, not that.
Okay.
Let me. I got this yesterday. I just wanted to share it, and I forgot about it. And I was poking through here while the songs were on, and I found it. What I'm going to do is we'll talk about this right now. It loads up. Okay, let's see. There it is. All right, the Eighth Circuit Court tosses out the fight to protest funerals. Because our Westboro friends are at it again. In Missouri City Cabana funeral protest, they reversed an early decision against Westboro Church. You know, they were given the green light and money. But the city of Manchester passed a law in 2007, making it illegal for groups to protest within an hour or 300 feet of burial or funeral service, though picketing along the procession route is allowed. The lawsuit was filed in 2009, claiming the law violated its right to free speech because it was too vague. So Fred Phelps, that prick, believes that America is being punished for its tolerance of homosexuality with the death of its soldiers. I don't know what this guy's smoking, but it's got to be some great shit. Members have picketed military funerals across the country holding signs that say things as thank God for a dead soldier. Now, if I was somewhere near and I seen that, I'd shove that sign right up their ass.
As well as
God hates fags. This is crazy. But a federal judge, the First Amendment protects peaceful funeral protest. A 3-judge panel affirmed it in October 2011. I remember that. In rehearing, Manchester argued that Westboro's picketing rights cannot outweigh its interest in protecting the peace and privacy of citizens saying their farewells to their loved ones. Now, this 11-judge court this time reversed it unanimously, saying Manchester's protest restrictions are limited enough in scope to avoid First Amendment violations. So they concluded that we conclude that Manchester's amended ordinance is narrowly tailored because it places very few limitations on picketers and the city's significant interest in protecting the privacy of funeral attendees. Justifies a 300-foot restriction for a specific limited time and a short duration. The Supreme Court judged a 500-foot restriction on congregating outside foreign embassies to be narrowly tailored to protect certain interests, as well as a 100-foot free zone around healthcare facilities to protect patients from interference with their privacy, and the area before or about a home to protect residential privacy. Manchester's amended ordinance eliminated any restrictions on processions. It narrowed to eliminate restrictions on any such floating zones, and now only places limitations within 300 feet or burial. Picketers can still reasonably communicate their message to funeral attendees and others. And other than the narrow time and place restriction in the ordinance, no limit is placed on the number of speakers or their noise level, including the use of amplification equipment or on the number, size, text, or images of play cards. It's fucked up what these people do, man. I don't know why, but they do. What do you think about that?
I did a whole paper report on this. One of my dear friends is the ride captain down in Alabama for the PGR, Patriot Guard Riders.
And all of that Westboro stuff is really, like, whacked. And, you know, with having a friend who is so dedicated, you know, he is former Navy. I believe he was in Vietnam. He is a very wise person, I should say. He's great to talk to. You just get one of those vibes of nostalgia when you talk with him. But he made something very, very clear, which I had interviewed him for my informative speech about the PGR.
Mm-hmm.
Said that Westboro and Mr. Phelps and all the little hoo-has that surround him, which is basically family, so figure that one out for yourself.
Yeah.
He said this is what they want. They want all the media hype. They want for a photographer, a biker, a human, whatever, to strike out at them, to attack them, because once that starts, then the lawsuits stop. They've gotten what they want, you know, what they wanted out of you. They got the reaction. You know, the number one job that was so adamantly put in my head while doing this informative speech and working with my friend for the research to it was that under no way, shape, or form, you know, are you to engage with them, and they are considered unwanteds. They call them, they actually have a term for them. IEDs, am I saying that right?
Right.
It's unwanted guests, and they have a term for them, and they just, you know, they'll turn their back to them, they'll rev up the engines. They have, you know, people that come out that are not in the PGR that stand there with flags. So there is a blocking, you know, you can't see the Westboro Baptist Church to the soldier you're burying, you know, et cetera. They do everything they can for the family of, you know, the person departed. And like you said, you know, he said if you feed these Westboro people your hate, your anger towards what they're doing, that's what they want.
Right.
And he said the best thing for you to do is just, you know, he's like, do what we do. We turn our backs to them. We stand there with pride. We represent the United States of America. We represent, you know, goodwill towards the person and the family that they're there for. And, he, you know, they just came out with their movie over the past year. If you look up the PGR online, their movie was brought out of how they became to be and, you know, how many members grew within the PGR within the first year and its founding members, et cetera, et cetera. But I what a great group of guys. I can't say anything negative about them, you know, according to the research that I've done. Regardless, I only know one person, you know, with the PGR. I can't say that I know 25 people because I don't. I only know one person, and he's down in Alabama, so it's not like I get to see him all the time. But I think on some level that's a positive advice because, you know, the family and everything is going through enough heartbreak. You know, they're burying their loved one who came back from war, you know, and gave the greatest gift that they have. They gave themselves to protect this country. And those people are going through stress enough then to see people who are there representing the country, et cetera, and they're there for them to be fighting with these scumbags. They're going through enough. And we as Americans should follow in suit. You don't give them the attention. You don't bring in the media. You don't write the articles. And eventually they'll fizzle away. But as long as you keep writing articles, as long as you keep arguing, as long as you keep getting in their faces or it is whatever it is you do, they are going to continue to be around. Because as long as they have an outlet to feed you know, their crap that comes out of their mouth and on their billboards and on their little picketing cardboards and everything else, they're going to be around. But, you know, if you just turn a blind eye to it and say, you know what, these people don't matter because they really don't. Who matters is the soldier that came home. That's
mm-hmm.
the most important part, you know. And he gave a very good insight on that because, you know, so many people, when you hear the Westboro Baptist Church, you automatically, you get, if you're a military family like I am, you get enraged. You know, you're like, these people need to be stopped, et cetera, but then you get, you know, you need to look at the whole picture. And I got that whole picture personification with having the friend I have. And, you know, and that's the word I tell people when we get into conversations like that. I'm like, the best thing you can do is ignore them people. Don't make posts about them. Don't write about them. Don't nothing.
Yeah.
You know?
Don't give it a day.
That's what he said. And he's like, he wished that more of society, you know, would kind of follow in suit, because he said it's really not them. They're trained to do what they do as PGR members. And, you know, they don't get up in the faces of them people. They don't, you know, they're there for their own certain mission of attending that funeral. And it's everybody else that's got to follow in suit. Because, you know, the first person to strike one of them people or hit them or shove them, they're looking at lawsuit. Because,
yeah.
You know, that's what they're out for. They're out to make your hair stand up, out to make money, and out to do whatever they can get away with doing. And our best thing, as, you know, we support our troops, et cetera, is to just turn our back to them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way I feel about that.
Mm-hmm. Please understand that also, I believe there are lawyers as well. So when you say that they're waiting for that first hit, you are correct.
Yeah.
But they are lawyers. And so, I mean, John and I have been DGR from when it started. For the people that are out there, please understand, anyone can have the PGR attend. However, the only way that that can happen is it has to be a family, and when I say family, it's like mother, father, sister, brother, that type of the immediate family.
That
are
contact.
The only that can request
yeah.
the PGR.
Yep.
And generally, we all have flags, and we all post flags, so there's the entry. If they are there, then oftentimes our back is to them, and we just sing whatever hymn that we can sing to drown them out. And oftentimes when they know that the PGR is going to be there in full force, most times they don't show, even though they say they will, which is just as fine.
I know I had to make a phone call because somebody in for Arizona, and I had the PGR show up along with the American Legion riders, who most of them are PGR guys, and they contacted some of the local heavy hitter club guys, who basically lined one side of the street, and they just stood there with signs. And they had signs in front of them, and they didn't touch any of them because they didn't want to take on a heavy hitter club.
A couple of times, like in Coronado, it was said that they were going to protest a play that high school kids were going to do. And, I mean, it's amazing what they will try and block to get people to react and
mm-hmm.
overreact to them, because the overreaction or the fact that the word is being sent out is what they're looking for, is they're making us jump.
Right.
And sometimes we'll jump, but in the long run, hopefully, we will outlast them.
Yeah.
But on a good note, I think it was last year, actually 2 years ago, I guess. There was a young lad in the Midwest, and the school principal said, you may not wear American flag.
Right.
And the young lad, wasn't his father in the military or something?
Yeah.
And so
they were actually gonna all pose with wearing flags and send it to the troops with the care packages they put together.
Yep. And what was really awesome was the fact that the PGR and a number of other bikers escorted the kids to school.
Yep.
And it's interesting because all of a sudden the principal had a change of heart, maybe he overstepped his bounds on this one.
Yeah, he borrowed a friend's bike to put it on the gym floor. He rode it into the gym. Still didn't help him out, though.
But, you know, it's okay. People are allowed to have a change of heart and understand that we as Americans have rights. If I wish to put my American flag out, that is my right to do so. I'm kind of proud of a number of people that are in these condos. And the condo society has been telling these people, you cannot hang the American flag. And it's like, they're military families. You're just going to tell military family they can't put an American flag out? Get lost.
Well, that's just like when I was a kid, and everybody had the flag with the star in it, remember?
Kinda.
You know the red, white, and blue flag had the white background, the blue star and red lines on the side, let you know that somebody in that house was serving in the military.
That's right. Oh, your blue star families. I have a couple of those. When my daughter was deployed out there, I had a flag that I hung, and I had some stickers on my car and stuff. And if you've got the gold star, then you're a gold star family. You've lost somebody.
Correct.
That was military.
Yeah, gold star is generally they have lost a son or a daughter at war.
Right.
And but the one that Phil's talking about. There was an emblem that one would put in the window that signified that there was a member of that household
on duty.
That's I had when my daughter was away. I had those in my windows along with on my car. Mhm.
God, I haven't seen that in years.
Yeah, there's a lot of it out. I mean, I don't know if it's because I'm so close to a poorer type of city where there's a lot of military folks. I mean, we have the Newport Navy base, which houses the Marines, Navy, Army. The Air Force base is out on Cape Cod. But there's a lot of, younger folks that have those flags in their windows all along the city.
Yeah. There's a lot of them out here, too.
Well, one of the things that I wish is when it comes to certain holidays and what have you, and I don't necessarily see a great deal of bikers doing this, but at least be proud and fly that flag off the back of their bike.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know that I have to replace my POW and my American flag. They're missing again. And I'd like to catch the son of a bitch that's taking those off. But
you got someone stealing your flags, Fran?
I've been having that issue, yes.
Are you kidding me?
No, seriously, they do.
No,
over where she
kidding.
Lives, there's a lot of street people.
Yeah, but you know what, Phil? This wasn't the street people.
Nothing.
When at the college,
Most of our vets.
That Bin Laden, when he was killed,
yeah.
Someone broke off all three flags.
Wow.
All three of them.
That's horrible.
Yes.
People should be leaving your stuff alone. You don't go mess with other people's things. You know, there's a respect thing there.
That should be in with the flag.
Yeah, especially when it comes to American flag, a POW flag, any of those, you know? People don't belong messing with that.
No.
One day I'll catch them. In the meantime, at this point, I need to replace them.
Okay.
And,
you know, that reminds
me
of a song. Let me do this and I'll be right back.
The sky is crying.
Okay. Thank you for that. Some knuckleheads are trying to fucking shut us down. Fuck Westboro.
They try to shut us down all the time.
Yeah, I know.
I'm on the line. I keep getting kicked off.
Well, what are you doing wrong?
I don't know. I just... Whatever.
I mailed them cookies.
No cookies.
They sure as hell ain't getting any damn cupcakes thanks to my freaking dog.
Oh, yeah, ask her about that, friend.
My dog ate 10 cupcakes tonight. Carrot cake cupcakes, no less.
And he's got glaucoma, too.
At least they won't waste one.
No. I just made them, though. I just made them. They were cooling, and he attacked them. Paws and all up on the counter.
That just goes to show how good of a cook you are.
He's lucky to be breathing. He's in doggy timeout right now. I put him in my mother's room. Yeah, he's going there.
That doggy jail?
I wish I had doggy jail. Nope. No doggy jail. He's just in doggy timeout. His timeout is a nice queen size bed.
You put me in doggy heaven there for a while.
He's not having too rough of a time, believe me.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm so sure on that one. Dang. I mean, at some point, I would love to have a dog. But it's just
I will hand deliver you one. I'll put him in the back of my car, drive him right over there to you.
How big is he?
He is 90 pounds. He's a Portuguese hunting dog, and he's got the energy of about 40 dogs.
I need quiet, mundane, and something that the five cats won't terrorize.
Not this guy. This guy barks. That's one thing I have to say about him. You know, my house is predominantly a female house, with the exception of my son. And we're out in the country, and it doesn't matter, you know, what it is. If something crawls across the threshold of this property line, he's up, and he's growling, you know. And, I mean, all he wants to do is play, but his instinct, because he's a hunting dog, his instinct is always, you know, to protect his little piece of property here. And, you know, as to say that he's not a good dog, I can't say that. He's a fantastic dog. He just has too many human-like qualities that piss me off.
Yeah, but you love him.
Yeah, he needs to love somebody else. He's my mom's dog, and he's missing my mom. She hasn't been home in a couple of months. And when she gets back here and settled in, he'll straighten out. But he's been doing a lot of quirky little things that he hasn't done since he was a puppy, and that's his way of saying he wants his mommy back, and she's just not here right now, you know?
That's always tough. I figure probably within the next 2 years, if it takes that long, I have a feeling that what will happen is that for one reason or another, just like how I ended up with some of these cats, is that, you know, needs a place to stay, and it's either this or doggy heaven.
Yes.
I probably want to say in 2 years, I will probably have a dog in the house.
Dogs are cool. Cats is what drives me nuts. You know, any animal that crawls in a box, takes a dump, digs up their stuff, redigs it back down and then wants to sit in your lap when he's got all that E. coli bacteria all in his claws, I'm all set. And an animal that coughs up its own fur, no, I'm good. I'm not a cat person. I don't want no cat on my lap. That's it.
The only thing that's good about that is that You don't have to pick it up when it's warm.
No.
Dump it.
No. Man, I hate litter boxes. I hate the smell of litter boxes, and I don't like kitty paws that have been in the litter box and trying to be sitting all up on me. I'm like, get the hell away from me. No, I'm not friendly with the kitties.
Well, I've been very fortunate with these five.
Dogs are cool, but even them, I don't know. I'm an animal person, but I'm not an overly animal person. And living in the city 3/4 of my life, my kids have always asked for a dog, a cat, and anything. And my excuse is we don't have the yard for the animal to run around in, and it's not fair that they can't get their exercise. You know, I'm not an animal type of person is what I really think it is. I can take them or leave them, but I'd rather leave them than take them, you know? That makes any sense.
Yeah, it does.
How many animals you got, Phil, besides yourself?
My dog tried to get over the fence to go get some, and the dumb fucker choked himself to death.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
no. That's so sad.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So, haven't gotten his replacement yet, but I'm working on it.
He died while trying to get a piece of ass? For real?
For real.
Wow. He's a good dog. Wow.
He was a good dog.
What kind of dog was he?
Pit.
Nice. One of my best friends has got two pits. One's a blue nose and one's like a brindle type. And they're the biggest freaking babies. Oh, my God.
Yeah, this is a red nose.
Yeah.
Red and white.
The SPCA finally came out and said the pit bulls are not the leading dog that bites. I mean, that took a lot for them to break down and say that, because they've made it very difficult for people to have pit bulls, because they've made it so tough that you now have to carry special insurance if there's a pit bull living on the property.
Yeah. And in the city, it's pit bulls, Rottweilers, and Dobermans that they want insurance on.
But it was nice to hear from the SPCA that the pit bull is not the leading fighter.
Well,
that was a nice plus.
Stacey, Teresa says that cats are cool, and you just haven't met the right cat yet.
Who said that?
She's out of Michigan too.
Oh, cool beans. Hail Michigan. No, I'm highly allergic to cats, so that's another thing too. It's not like I would like go out of my way to meet any type of cool cats. And not only that, I'm the coolest cat I know, so I don't need much company.
Sorry.
You know what ticks me off though?
Go ahead.
Let's say that you have to have a service person come to your house. Now, I always let them know I have cats. Like she was just saying, she's allergic to cats. And it would be nice to let the service guys know, no, this is a property with cats. If you're highly allergic, you really shouldn't respond to this one. Every time I have a serviceman that comes, I'll ask him, were you notified that there's cats? No. And I'll see this poor guy coming in, and he's already starting to tear, and he hasn't even started working yet. It's okay, I've got some stuff in the car, in the truck to take away the, like Benadryl or whatever it is. And it's like, what a son of a bitch. If I go through the courtesy to let them know that there's pets, don't send somebody who's allergic. And they talk about
lack of communication.
You know, Fran, I do the same thing. I do. Because I don't want somebody to have an asthmatic attack in my house. And it's not that I don't have Benadryl in the house. But the point being, you know, people do not inform anyone.
I'd be afraid to give them the Benadryl. Because at that point, if it gets worse, whatever, I'll dial 911. I might by accident leave my EpiPen out without any labels. But, yeah. And that's the one thing, even at the school, you can't even give a student, an adult, mind you, a college student, an adult, aspirin. Now, there's been times where magically a bottle will be sitting on a table, but that is also when the teacher goes and takes a break to go to the ladies' room or men's room, so they're not providing aspirins. Well, that's, you know, we've gotten to a point where we've gone too far. It's like the little children, you know, a first grader, a second grader being charged with sexual assault, and it's like, honey, you don't even know how to get it up yet.
If you got a second grader being charged with, like, a sexual assault, like you said, I would look, like, if I was a professional, I would look outside of the box and think, if this second grader knows something sexual, then we need to get to whoever's raising this second grader, you know? Because children learn what they see, and there's no second grader on this place on this planet that would know anything like that unless taught or shown, you know?
But the only thing is how many times do they hear something on TV? They think it's funny, so they use that phrase at school.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you're going to put a label on that kid. Well, what happened to a little bit of common sense here? Okay? A Swiss Army knife, the blade is not more than 1 inch. And you now are going to charge them for having a knife on the premises.
Wow.
But that's what they're doing at the school. And if you, technically, at the college, if you have a knife that the blade is, it has a blade, that can be dismissal. I could get dismissed if I carry my lesson into the classroom. Something's wrong with society at that point. I mean, if I was going to kill somebody, I'd use a damn pencil. I can kill somebody real quick with a pencil. So you're going to worry about a knife? Then you better take the pencil away from me, because that's more of a lethal weapon than the dang knife. So, I mean, what I'm saying is our society has gone beyond, has gone too far. They've gone too far in some respects and ignore the things that are happening that, you know, such as, you know, the bullying and that. They ignore that, and yet when it comes to something stupid and petty, they hang a kid for that one. And it just boggles my mind that a principal, a school psychologist, can be that narrow-minded and stupid that they can't think outside of the box. They can't come up with a basic rule and deal with it without calling the police in.
Yeah.
You have an 8-year-old child in handcuffs? Yeah, give me a break. Oh, by the way, for the Boy Scouts, they had in the news all the different places in San Diego that
some of the Boy Scout leaders had done inappropriate action, and they actually had a whole box of these individuals. Unfortunately, those people that are in that those boxes can't be charged now because it has gone beyond a certain year, so they cannot go and prosecute these individuals for inappropriate actions. And so I go back to like, okay, so if you're a Boy Scout and you're a Boy Scout leader, what is your code? If your code is to protect the one that is doing the harming, then I have a feeling that you're reading the wrong code. What happened to protecting the innocent? Again, I must have read the wrong page between what's right and what's wrong.
Yeah.
I know most of the people that I know, if they had found that a coworker or someone down the block was doing that something like that to a child, would not necessarily be a very happy camper over that.
No.
So,
but we're down to the last 60 seconds, so I invite you to come back today and pick up where you left off.
Well, you know I got a big mouth anyhow.
No worries. I still have your T-shirts. Where do you want them? Where do you want them?
Well, you can hold them for me.
Okay.
Keep them warm.
We'll do that.
Keep them dry.
I'm gonna let the doors take us out. People are strange.
Woo-hoo, that's true.
There you go. So good night, everybody.
Good
night,
all.
All right, we'll talk to you soon.
People are strange when you're a stranger. Faces look ugly when you're alone. Women seem wicked when you're unwanted. Streets are uneven when you're down. When you're strange, faces come out of the rain. When you're strange, no one remembers your name. When you're strange. When you're strange, when you're strange. People are strange when you're a stranger. Places look ugly when you're alone. Women seem wicked when you're unwanted. Streets are uneven when you're down.
From Los Angeles, California, the Stones!